Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. We're about to start off on a new show here that is going to be hosted by Douglas Newsom and Eva Hare. Today we have a very wonderful new guest by the name of Dr. Roy Scrubs, and I'm going to let everybody do a little talking, introduce themselves, and get this new show on the road. So please, everybody introduce themselves, and I'll kind of sit back in the background and let you guys do most of the talking.
Why don't you go, Doug?
All right. Well, I'm Donald Newsom's twin brother. I'm excited to be on the show. I guess the reason why I'm on the show isn't so much who I am, but what I've become. Let everybody else explain who they are. Now, I don't think it's important who I am. I just think it's important what I've become, and I've become a person who's been instantaneously enlightened, if that's possible. And you have to believe it's possible for it to be possible. And now that I've reached that level, I'm just a participant in the show. Eva?
Well, that same thing happened to me through a near-death experience, somewhat, a dream kind of thing. And it's hard to describe. I mean, like I've said before, it's like trying to describe an orgasm to a child. You cannot describe it in words. It's just a simple, sudden understanding of all there is. Don't you think so, Roy?
Yeah.
I know you've been there.
Right, and I don't know that that the amount of time is so important, really, as the actual realization that you mentioned, that once that happens, I think that you can incubate that over time, but I'm not at all sure that it improves the essential quality of what you experience. I mean, my experiences were 30 years ago, okay, and I'm not at all sure that. Well, I think I'm more at ease with it, more comfortable with it. It's more a part of me.
Well, let's
talk about what it is.
I beg your pardon?
What is it, Roy, to you?
It's that realization that you get, you know, that just says, hey, it's not really what I thought it was.
and instant knowledge.
Yeah, and instant knowing that you don't. That there's something way beyond what you've thought it was,
and then you assimilate it over time. You, even though you know that you can get all the answers because you're dealing with the basic building blocks of the matter, kind of like an understanding of energy at a much easier level, or an understanding of other things in an easier level because you have a building block of information that is really the only information that's important.
That's right, and you can deny it all you want, but it's real, and it really happens in an instant, just like an orgasm does, and it changes your life forever, and it's like riding a bicycle. Once you learn how, once you learn it, once you feel it, you can never take it away.
What happened to me, this just happened on a phone call. I was speaking with Eva in regards to information, and 30 minutes after the phone call I had with you, Eva, I dropped to my hands and knees. I screamed out with two emotions at once. Two emotions at once. I've never felt that before. One was the highest ecstasy, and an absolute overwhelming feeling of love and understanding to the highest order with ecstasy added to that. And then the deepest level of sadness, not sadness, a detachment from sadness that occurred for all the things that I've done in my life up till now. So all within a period of short order, and you're screaming out an ecstatic understanding because you're aware now. It's just like, boom, instantaneously, and that's what gives you that moment of ecstasy.
It's like being plugged in suddenly and turned on, isn't it?
Right. Dr. Scrubs, you're a physicist. It took all the understanding you probably had at that time and went, oh, my God, all this is not really meaningful. I mean, it's not meaningful in the way I've ascribed to it, and it must have been hard to take that in.
Well, the one of the problems, the reason why it's important to me to see people with PhDs and whatever, you know, high degrees, be involved in this is not because that they're so qualified, but because that they're so constrained away from it by their training.
Right.
And so you have to be able to become as a child again. That's what I've done, okay? Basically, that's what I've done.
Just you kind of have to sit in ignorance and
I've got all this training, and I know that everything that I've been told is blah, 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 blah. But the facts are quite different from that. They're really quite different. Now, I'm not devaluing my training, because it's very valuable and still is.
Yes.
But I think there's so much more beyond that that we have to be open to. We just have to be open. That's all.
Well, it's a fun, it's sort of a when it comes to you, your purpose is made clear so quickly just by asking. There's so much you do within yourself. You internalize more. You actually go back to the idea that you can talk to yourself.
Well, that's how it comes. It's that small, silent voice that you think that you're it's something else, but it's really you.
And how do you get into that voice? Well, you got to believe that it's there. It's funny because nobody can create before they apply imagination. And
that's
so why do we run from imagination? We'd never plug into it. We don't sit there and say, I can imagine myself flying. I can imagine myself talking to myself. I can do this in my waking hour.
Mm-hmm.
But we just wait until we go to sleep before we become kids again.
Yeah, right. That's a good analogy. Yes, that's right. Yeah, that's right. We have to. My own opinion is that we, in so many ways, we have to become children again. And we think we know so much.
This is a funny thing. It just came to me right before the show, and I used the word imagination. I said, okay, what's the meaning of the word? And I decided I'm going to break it up really quickly into I'm a ginnate. You know what the word ginnate means? Given the ability to manipulate and receive. Imaginate.
Generate, that's right.
Yes, so we are really a construct given the ability to manipulate and receive in kind of a strange fashion. And we can receive anything and manipulate that into even a real form. We could. It's just that's the body, that's what we've been given. And that's imagination.
Yeah, well, imagination, I think imagination is a platform that we all have to be willing to operate from. But what emerges through imagination is creativity.
Yes.
Right. And so because all of the things that you might imagine are not necessarily possible, but the creative ones, you have to be open to the creative ones. And
yes.
And they show up whole cloth every time I've ever had a creative experience. It just showed up whole cloth in my mind. There was no...
No piecemeal.
Not conditional in any way. It's just there it was in one piece. It was like one whole piece of cloth. And then what we tend to do, and I learned this from William James, what we do is we take these little tadpoles called words and surround that creative expression that suddenly showed up in our brain.
Yes.
Coming from our mind.
Yes.
And it shows up there, and we surround it with a bunch of tadpoles called words, and then we can express it. Yeah.
That's why words can be taken. Once you become aware, you know this, so you can almost take any word back to its roots, because you look at words that way now. You look at things in a different way, because 99% of all the stuff that's out there isn't important anymore.
Well, I think you begin to realize, too, that you have no thinking mechanism in your brain.
You're a conduit.
And it's consciousness. Where does it come from except from the consciousness of all there is?
Yes.
Well, see, my position on this whole thing is the brain, we have a lot of evidence that says that the brain, it's enormously complicated, really, phenomenally so. But fundamentally, it's algorithmic. That is, it tends to want to function in a computer-like way.
Yes.
It operates under rules.
Yes.
Enormously complex, right, that we don't begin to understand. But the fact of the matter is I don't see any evidence at all that the mind is like that.
I don't either.
No, I think the mind is not algorithmic. It knows things at a level it
goes beyond that dimension, that aspect. It must almost to an infinite level.
Yeah, it because it reaches to the spirit, and that world is not, you know, at our little highly dense physical level down here. We need to be algorithmic because we have to function.
Yeah,
you know, we can't have animals eating us and so forth. So,
right.
So we you know we're forced to do that, but we retain that connection with the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything we can bring down from the mind has to be able to translate down into a brain so that we can express. And so that's what we do. We finally get it down through imagination, and then through imagination emerges creativity.
People will find this hard to believe, but now, in almost instantly, I become a man of words to a man who can't express myself in words. It's like taking
an idea.
That's
because words are so limiting.
It's like taking an idea and saying to somebody who's not aware, and you do this. This is what slows me down now. And I've only been aware of 2 weeks, folks. 2 weeks. But what slows me down is the idea that I have to translate it for people who don't get it.
No, you don't need to do that. No, you just need to experience it.
Yes, okay. I totally agree. By the way, just before this show, I'm thinking to myself, by the way, and it's a fundamental principle that came to me in how I'm going to be dealing with the world, but it's like this. I was just working on it. What are you doing? What are you doing in your life right now? Are you trying to send out lots of messages? You know, you see these lots of enlightened people send out a lot of messages. And I say, okay, should my time be applied towards the idea that there's lots of messages to improve oneself? And then I get this understanding. It goes, well, why not make it simpler and allow everybody to get the message out for themselves? All you have to do is just plug them in. So, don't run that around. Bring the idea that instant awareness is possible to these people. Because if they don't imagine it, they won't be able to experience it.
Well, it sounds like what you all are talking about is the fundamentals. In other words, since we are created through imagination by the Creator's imagination, and we originate in imagination, then it's somewhat akin to the next octave of senses. In other words, we have our senses here on this physical plane, but if we want to develop those senses in the next dimension or the higher plane, it becomes the imagination, which sense is the whole new octave of senses.
Well, it's all about intent.
I agree with Eva. I think it's about intention. And intention arises through so many ways.
Yeah.
But you know, this whole thing of having recently become alive, there's a kind of ecstasy that goes with that, as you know. And the best way I found years ago to express that ecstasy was in just simple joy. Enjoying life, just enjoying people. You know.
I had to come to grips with the idea of just experience or teaching. Because you really have that choice now, don't you? You have a choice.
Yeah, you do.
You do. And your choice then becomes, do I experience this for myself and go into my mind and live to the next level? Or do I want to help other people come to this level? Really, that's a choice you have to make. Your purpose you define really quickly.
Well, I think you do both, don't you?
I think you can do both as long as you just say, okay, I don't work through me and let me experience it,
yep.
And then I can live on two levels. I can live on my imagination level at the same time I'm experiencing this level. You could.
Well,
in order to simply experience, you would almost have to be a recluse.
We have to stretch ourselves a little bit to do that.
Yeah.
But it's not beyond us to do that.
No. No, I get the feeling that
that's what's important about the experiences that we're having because the world needs it right now.
That's why I feel a sense of.
And it's not so much that you doubt your ability to do all these things at one time, but you accept that you actually can potentially do it.
Yeah, well, that is. And then you got to let it go. You got to say, well, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be, because, you know, it's all By the way, folks, time doesn't mean the same thing as you think it does. On so many levels, it's really not even a part of the thought process when you reach awareness.
Well, there is no time, really.
There is no time, really.
You can't go next door and retrieve what happened last week. Right. You can't go the other way and retrieve next week.
My brother tells me, he says, well, if you're so smart now, I don't know if an IQ jump is applicable to such a thing, but I guess it would be because you look at things much in a simpler way. It's not a more complicated way. It's a simpler way. But my brother says to me yesterday, and he says, Doug, well, if that's true and this awareness will, then you must know everything. So what happened in 1825, July 16th?
Well, it's not about book knowledge. It's about intellectual understanding.
Correct. But one could break that apart, and I had to flow through the idea chain of this. And I really did come to a mental construct of why that would be difficult to do. One, every human being lives on a different, his own dimension. And then you have to access that particular person, where he was at that time, where, you have to know the person. You have to access the horizontal energy line and the vertical energy line.
Yeah, you
have to know
that person at that given time
to a specific time event, which isn't important. So an aware mind would never go there. I mean, you could. Why? It just doesn't make any sense to do it. So that sort of a conversation would be like talking to a plant. In respect, it'd be useless information.
Well, let me ask a few questions then of each of you. This might clarify that question that I had asked you earlier, Doug. As we all know, we've heard of what they call the Akash,
Akashic Records.
Yeah, Akashic Records.
Right. Uh-huh.
I can never pronounce that. Someone pronounce it loudly, please.
Akashic Records, yeah.
Akashic Records, okay. Now, we've heard of many people that can access that. Not many, but a few that can access that complete information. And as I believe, all energy is information. It's almost like similar to your movie, The Matrix, with lines going down the TV. All energy is code of information.
It's carried through time,
it's coded
and space,
within the information.
And intervals.
Right.
It's coded in. It's got a place where it's being received and stored.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Well,
I don't know if I'd consider it information as such as only.
True, but I mean, we can expand that out to the etheric or into the physical.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't matter. But I'm just saying, energy and information kind of flow together. So, if people can't access that, when you become aware or you believe that you are aware, do you or have you, every one of you, and I'd like to ask Dr. Scrubs this first. Have you accessed or can you access those Akashic records?
Roy?
Roy?
Dr. Scrubs?
He must have dropped the call. Must have dropped off.
The call must have dropped off. Well, why don't we? Now, I can always clip this.
But
edit.
I know his answer to that. Because we've
had
that
too.
conversation many times.
Well,
right.
Why don't we try to at least now flash him over?
Okay. Hold on. Do you want me to do it or do you want to do it?
I think it might be best or everyone drops.
Drops? Okay, and then start back up?
Don't worry, we can edit this out.
Okay.
So hang up?
No, don't hang up, Doug. You just flash over and call him in.
Okay, hold on.
Well, now I can do a little singing, folks.
There?
As soon as I can. Thank you.
Hello?
To leave your callback number.
I guess he must be on another phone. Try him again.
I just tried. It was a busy signal.
Try it again. He might be online thinking he's still online or something. I do not know.
Drop me a message. I'll get back to you. You
there?
He's not there.
Yes.
Try one more time.
Well, Don, I'll give him up just a few seconds. Would he be trying to call in? Why is his phone busy?
Well, he's going to probably have to just drop his...
Yeah, let me try him. Let me try him now.
All right. Boy, he's excited, isn't he, Eva?
Yeah. When it first happens to you, it's like this ecstasy and glee. I mean, it's like you're jumping around on an Energizer battery or something.
Well, we'll give him a little bit of time, and then we'll see if we can bring him back. But what would have been his answer?
Yes. We've had that conversation many times.
And?
His answer would be yes.
He's acting.
But nobody
absolutely, it's possible. I told Don that earlier. It's possible, but why would you do it?
But nobody can access all there is, because you can only access up to your particular frequency of understanding. You can't access above you.
Yes.
Right. So what sort of access would
you... Well, Don, ask these questions when we get into it. If you think it's important for people out there to understand, then we'll deal with that issue.
Okay.
And I think it's important even for you, Don, that you understand that specific aspect of your question, why it's mute. But it's okay. Is
you
going to
try him again?
Yeah. I'll try him right again. One moment.
So it's better than sex?
Yes. You can actually...
Oh, you're scaring me.
You can listen here. You can actually get to a vibratory state.
I keep on getting a busy signal. I mean, not a busy signal.
Well, you want to try his home number, 770-986-0802.
986-0802. Got it. One moment, please.
Yeah. You can actually get to a level in meditation where you actually, you know that quivering vibration kind of feeling you get in your feet when you actually have an orgasm?
Hello? I'm going to try to ring him in.
Yeah.
You can get that feeling in meditation.
Hello, Dr. Scrubs.
Yes.
It must have been a cellular breakdown.
Welcome
yeah,
back.
My cell broke down.
That we can edit it out and just start back up.
Okay, we're starting now.
And what was your question again, Don?
Well, my question was, as you become aware, there are people out there that can access these Akashic records. And my question would be, have you accessed those records before, and what does that entail? What does that mean?
Is it possible, is your question.
Well,
who are you proposing that to?
Dr. Scrubs. Have you accessed it before, and what does that mean? And has it?
Well, I have. Because, look, I'm like all the rest of us. I've studied and meditated.
You might have to speak up just a bit. Cause...
Mouth, and there's something called... a hermeneutic approach. I don't know if you're familiar with that word, but there's a way of approaching information. Because I don't know that anybody really knows what information means. Until you give it meaning, all you really know is that there's some kind of a pattern.
Right?
Yes. Right? So somebody gives you a string of words or a string of symbols, and you say, oh, I declare there's a pattern in those symbols. Zeros and ones, or whatever they are, and you say, well, it's not random, so therefore it must mean something, but I don't know what it means, so it needs my context. Now, it may mean one thing to you, and it may mean something different to me, but the point is that the information is worthless until it has a context.
Yes.
Right?
That's absolutely correct.
And that's clear. I think that's common sense.
Yes.
But we tend to fold up, in modern language, we tend to fold up too much into simple words like information. And so we shouldn't do that. We should be more explicit about what we mean by something.
Yeah, the word, it's funny because words limit you to an overall idea of focus.
Right, because so many people interpret so many words differently.
Yeah,
of course. That's psychology, isn't it? So it has something can have different meanings to different people, given the same content that's expressed.
It's the idea of perception being different, semantics. Cow one isn't cow two. In a way, we all live on our own dimensional plane within our own imagination. It's a collective thing. Know this. But in that way, you're expressing yourself.
Yeah.
And you only, funny thing is, I now know this. The only thing that's ever going to limit you really is yourself. And the reality that you can take yourself to your imagination brings up a whole new world.
Yep.
If you believe thought is created, if life is created by thought, think before action there was thought. So thought is primary.
Yes.
Thought then leads to the action. So let's get back to the primary, thought.
Yep.
So if thought is the creator, and you understand this, you now are aware that that is absolute fact. That's kind of an awareness. It's like that fact is paramount. And then you start to create with your imagination.
That and you know,
and it flows over into the real world, because everything around you moves towards that your ideas of what the future will be like more. It's almost like once you become aware of energy on that level, you start to harness the energy around you.
Well, you know, one of the things I think important here that we're trying to get across to the masses is that you can deny all you want to what it is that we're saying.
Yep.
You know, you can say that it's not real. But I'm here to tell you, and so are these two other people, that it is real.
Yep.
And the purpose of what we're trying to get across is if you were to listen to us and simply do what we say do, just because we say to do it, just experiment with it, like you tell children to do when you put them in the first grade. You just do what that teacher says to do because she says to do it, and you'll learn something. And it'll make your life better. Well, if you were to listen to us and simply listen to that inner voice, the first voice, not the second voice, you can avoid all kinds of pain in your life.
Oh, God.
You don't have to experience pain, emotional trauma.
None. It's like a balance with everything that knows. You're sharing it. It's not so... And it's understood in a different level. It's more understood in terms of what it taught you, what you experienced from that.
Okay, well, let's get down to then the practical steps one would take
to become aware.
Now, let me ask that first of Dr. Scrubs and then Eva, and then I'd like to get your take on it, Doug. But the actual, if you were to talk to somebody, he says, look, outline some of the steps I should do that'll help this, what would that person need to know?
To become aware?
Become aware. To take the steps that you took to become enlightened as you have.
Well, I can tell you right now that the way it's happened for me, and it's not, you know, because I learned this from others, not that it just showed up on me. But, I mean, I had my own experiences, but I learned from others that you don't criticize your thought flow. Whatever thoughts pass through your mind, you know, I mean, for example, I'll sit out on the back porch early in the morning with my little cup of tea, you know, and I just let the thoughts flow.
Yeah.
And I don't critique them in any way. Not at all.
It's a detachment.
They can be good
thought,
or bad.
Yeah.
You know, I just let them flow. And occasionally, you know, along watching that flow, one will pass by and I think, you know, that's my fish. And I think I'm going to grab that one. And consistent, right? And you let the others go because you think maybe there's something. Maybe there's something interesting here. There might actually be something creative to emerge out of that. Otherwise, my thoughts, you know, are just as crazy as, at least as crazy as anybody else's. And so you just, you know, you sit and you watch. You sit and you watch and you let them flow, and don't be critical. If you criticize yourself for, you know, immoral thoughts or you know, what you think are not acceptable thoughts, you know, things like that, you're gonna be stunned. You're gonna be frozen.
Yeah.
Right. And so you just let it go, and realize that you're human, and that's okay. It's all right.
So what you're saying, if I could paraphrase this, is sit back, be the watcher of your thoughts, pick and choose those that you find interesting, and contemplate and experience those thoughts, but don't impede them.
Yes, right. I mean, you can't do that anyway, can you? So yeah, that's right. And you don't, because you've got to remember that you've got, you know, you have a very, very trustworthy judge up there called your soul that's going to tell you, okay, if you mess around with bad things, you're gonna get bad results. Okay, And it simply lets you know that. And it does that through the mind.
Yes.
So the soul is in contact with the spirit world. It's our representative to the, it is us to the spiritual world. And then it speaks to the mind. And doesn't censor the mind. It just speaks to the mind and says, okay, go ahead. And the mind is not algorithmic. It's not like a computer. It's not computable.
Nope.
It does things that we absolutely cannot interpret at this level. And you need to accept that with gratitude.
Yes.
Right? But it does things. And occasionally, it will actually be able to penetrate our brain and bring something down to our brain. And we say, wow, there it is. Yeah. And so, but we have to be open to it. You know, we have to believe it's possible.
We have
to be open to it.
Yeah.
And ask for it, actually.
And ask for it.
Yes, yes.
I did. I said, make me aware. Make me aware. I did it for a couple of weeks straight.
Yep. And if you keep asking for it every day and just being open and asking for it, then it'll happen. Now, it doesn't mean that what you're expecting to happen is going to happen, but something's going to happen.
Something's going to happen because your thought is on the idea that you're becoming more aware, and if your thoughts create energy around you, that energy will manifest itself to that level.
Yeah, exactly right.
So you got to believe it. And the only way you can believe it is by assuming that you got to pray to something to get it. Pray to something to get it, then.
That's right. I don't care what you pray to.
Yeah, exactly. If you believe a light's coming into your head and it's making you smarter, it is.
Yeah, it is. And
wow, you mean all I have to do is imagine a light coming into my head and makes me smarter? Yep.
I don't have to have any image of God to do that, do I?
No, you don't. The freedom that comes with this understanding is freedom of knowing you're limitless, but also understanding that you're just a vessel of experience.
Exactly. I don't have to be a Buddha or a Jew or a Christian or a Muslim or
it's irrelevant.
Understand that, do I?
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. It's an awareness on all levels.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good point there. Every single person in existence that's ever became enlightened, no matter what their religion or their culture or their color, have all experienced the same enlightenment.
Same thing. It's been absolutely consistent.
Yes.
Yep.
And as far as getting that feeling, Don, it really does feel somewhat like an orgasm. It really does.
Well, then, I think there are levels where, now look,
I've got my interest.
Levels where it was way beyond any orgasm. I mean,
oh yeah, you can take it because you start considering things in a whole, and you can reach multiple orgasms.
Well, you see, I know that the audience is going to like to hear that.
But you can't. You actually have no control over making it happen, and neither does anybody else. Nobody can make you have it,
and
you can't make yourself have it. But what you can do to help facilitate it is go through the motions that we would tell you to go through, which is set aside at least 30 minutes a day to meditate. And you don't meditate on a thought. Meditation is not about thinking on your thoughts. It's exactly the opposite.
No thought.
Because you can't hear two conversations
at one
time.
No, that's exactly right. It's the no thought situation. See the beautiful thing, you mentioned the organism. What that is a beautiful little gift to suggest to you what's out there.
Yeah, one strand of it.
Yeah, and it suggests to you and says, it says, come hither, all right, because there's a whole bunch more. And,
yeah, it's just chemical firings is all it is.
Well, I mean, so what?
I mean, in the physical body, so you can get it however you get it. It doesn't matter.
I don't see why... Why do we have to have a physical explanation?
Because I think that helps people that haven't had the experience to somewhat understand. I mean, what I was saying before is
what an orgasm is, so I don't think there's nothing more to say about that.
Yeah.
The question is, is there something beyond there? And you don't need to teach people about that kind of thing. They already know it.
Well,
so what you do is suggest to them there's something further. And that's what that whole thing is about, is to suggest to you that there is more beyond there, and I'm here to tell you that I know for a fact that there is. Okay.
Dr. Scrubs, I was thinking to myself, first I was thinking, how come, you know, before this occurred, the thoughts that ran through my head were,
you're not worthy, or how could you be worthy of a God thought, or how could you be, anything like that. But I had to get past that. What I knew, what I understood is, you got to trust your voice. And then I thought, well, what am I supposed to imagine? Some other voice is talking to me in my head. And then this thought comes into my head, no, there can only be one voice. So why don't you talk to yourself? And then I'm thinking, that's ridiculous. You mean, okay, well, Doug, I'm thinking about being with this lady in a sexual way. Let's just put that kind of in an idea. But I'm thinking about that thought, and then I'm dealing with it within my own mind. But I'm talking to myself. Okay, well, how do I feel about that? Well, Doug, you probably should feel good because you want to experience that. If you wanted to experience that, you'd feel, oh, now I'm talking to myself. Okay, wow. What if I just keep doing that?
No, it's fine. No, it's fine. It's just fine. Yeah.
It works. That is you. Just reach out and give that silence voice within your mind.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
And once you trust in, but some person who's really deep in sorrow or not so detached, he'd say, you know, I'm not capable of trusting that, I'm going to go out and I'm going to kill somebody. Oh, that's God's what? No, but I said it. Oh, does that mean no? You've actually had to have reached a point, I think, in your life where you had to say to yourself, do I know right from wrong? And at that point, when you become understanding that it's on higher levels than right and wrong, but consciously you feel that, you know, I do. I think that you reach a point of trust within yourself, or you can look at things with more open mind to imagination.
Right, and I agree with that. See, the thing about there's two aspects to me. Of the spiritual experience, one is to pray, and the other is to meditate.
Yes.
Now, in prayer, you're actively asking for help, and there are many cases where we won't do that.
Yes.
But meditation is where you become willing to let go of thought. Now, when you let go of thought, you're let going of control.
Yes.
Just let thought go. And that now you no longer have control. So now the only thing you can do is listen to that higher voice, which is not going to speak to you. It hasn't been my experience. Does not speak to you, but acts on you.
Correct.
And you will feel it.
You feel it, and yep. It's kind of like the talking about it afterwards is a discussion on that which is already is to yourself.
Yeah, right. And it's so. So powerful that the only way that I don't believe it can be described in words. So the only way to do it is, you know, just let your thoughts go, let them go.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to let your thoughts go, let them flow for a while, let them do whatever they're gonna do, and just let them calm down and quietly go away. And then what you find left is the relationship between you and the source of intention.
Yes,
and it's very, very powerful.
You know,
I had to do that for 3 months, Dr. Scrubs, meditating, where I just laid there and what I did was I put my mind, I imagined God as a cloud of energy,
mm-hmm.
and I'd thrust my body into that energy, and I'd say, you control my life, I'm just going to rest in your arms.
Yep.
And I just felt that feeling. That's
yep.
all I wanted to do.
Yep.
That was my opening up experience. I did that more and more and more and more, and then afterwards, you know, but I had two parts of my meditative process. You could call it prayer. Prayer is kind of the start of meditation.
Yeah.
But
it's the only addiction I know that's not really an addiction. It's not an addiction. It's just a longing.
Yes.
It's an addiction, it's the most helpful addiction that I've ever heard of.
Yeah.
So it's not an addiction. But no, once you've been there, you won't go back.
You don't want to spend time running around on a daily level. You actually almost want to live there, and you have to decide whether you do or whether you don't.
Yeah. But I think that we need more of that. And Eva was talking earlier about how we introduce people, which I think is desperately needed.
Desperately.
Yes, that in fact,
how do you go about doing that?
Exactly.
And
that's
and
the most important.
We have to find
Let's show them why, Dr. Scrubs, you know that an enlightened mind, you know why it's so important more people to be aware? Because the questions of agricultural improvement, all these questions that people have on so many levels,
yes,
can be understood so much simpler, and the problems worked out much quicker because it's really, there are more basic understandings of things that can help humanity.
Yes, yes, yes.
So if more people become aware that there's a possibility that you can become aware, and you are, there is, we're proof of it, then you'll know all these answers just like we will.
Look, I mean, you know, one of the things, because I'm a scientist, I'm an engineer, and one of the things that we've been working on quite some time is this notion of extracting energy from the vacuum, primarily through the magnetic field. And there is no energy, there's no pollution, there is no fuel cost to it. It's simply free energy extracted from the vacuum. Now, a lot of people say, that must become some kind of a ridiculous dream. Well, no, actually it isn't. We have a scientific basis for believing that to exist.
Yeah.
And most people would say, that's such a highly idealistic thing. And so, you know, the first
And you say it's such a basic thing because it's working on the basic constructs of knowledge.
Well, what happens is that a lot of people, you know, say, wow,
yeah,
you know, this would be the ultimate solution. But then the scientists who are committed to known principles of physics say, you're dreaming. You're not real. Okay. All right. So forget it. It ain't going to work. Well, I'm sorry to tell them that it actually not only will work, it does work. All right. And so we don't need the government running around the world causing wars because of oil stuff like that. We don't need that, and we don't need the pollution and all that stuff. But that doesn't have anything really to do with the question: can we get the energy from the vacuum, or can't we? And I have not found any reason to say that we can't. We're still working on that, but it's been demonstrated, and so I'm hopeful about it. I'm hopeful about it, and I believe that ultimately, you know, humankind will need to do that.
Yes.
And so I'm a great devotee of it. It's not that I'm that good scientifically, and I've got an awful lot of scientists, friends of mine, who don't believe that I can bend forks, but. I don't believe this either. So both are facts.
Yes,
done that. I've bent stainless steel spoons, pork, and
not just
like
bend them, mind you, but twist them around like spaghetti.
That can't happen.
You know something? It's funny because I just became aware 2 weeks ago, and I understand it's absolutely, positively a fact and can occur. And I'm wondering, just yesterday I thought, okay, Doug, well, how would you do it? Well, let the answer come to you. Here you are, Dr. Scrubs. Can you kind of explain what sort of a thought process, because it is that, a thought process that your imagination led you to get to that specific ability?
Yeah. What it is you have to be in an environment of mutual acceptance.
Understand.
For example, religious symbolism is extremely important, isn't it? So whenever a Christian sees the cross,
yes,
and in fact uses the cross for various reasons, it has a very powerful effect for them. And so symbolism is one thing. The other thing is when you get a group of people together. This is what Christ said, by the way. He said, when two or more of you together, it's going for you. Okay. And what he was really saying is that you have to have a mutual belief system.
Right.
So if we sit down in a room where all of us accept the notion, uncritically, that we can take those stainless steel spoons or forks, whatever, in front of us and rub them, and they will turn into spaghetti, it's because we've given each other permission to do that.
Mm.
If anybody is there who does not give us permission to do that, then that effect will be killed.
Yeah, gotcha.
Got me? Okay. And that's what happens with the scientists whenever Randy the Magician and people like that go in to observe this kind of thing. They bring a very negative
energy. Yeah, so the energy can't be created in that fashion because of that distortion.
It interferes with the energy.
Yes.
And it's, but the people in that room who believe it can be done, hey, I'm sorry, but I've been there too many times, okay? And I'm a scientist, and I observe it, and it was just as real as anything I've ever seen in my life.
You ever thought about moving an object?
And have the physical evidence over and over and over for it. So there's not, no physicist can dispute when I brought those things out of there.
We needed the tactile, but it was the sense of touch, the tactility of that object that gave you more reference to that object.
No,
or,
I don't look at this. Because from a physics point of view, whenever we twirl these heavy stainless steel utensils, I've touched them, you know, and they're just barely warm.
Now, right.
If you bent something like that in the period of time that it takes to twirl it with your finger, if you bent it that rapidly, let's say in a vise or something,
it'd be very hot.
It would be hot.
Yes.
Very hot. According to physical principles, it should be very hot.
Yes.
And it's not. Just barely warm. In fact, the warmth is just due from the temperature transfer from your finger.
Right.
All right, into the metal. So right away, you know, that violates everything.
Everything.
That I was ever taught. Now, what do I do with that? I am not inclined at this time, to attempt at all to interpret that in terms of known physical principles, that just won't fit. It just won't work.
Yeah.
So what else? What else could be at play here? It has to be. It has to be intention. Yeah. Right. And so our soul says, okay, this is neat. Let's go do this.
Yeah.
Sends it to the mind. Mind says, I'm not algorithmic. I don't care anything about rules. I won't. Send it on down there, and we're going to do it just because we want to have fun.
Right.
Okay. So why can't we have fun? Yeah. But my point of view, what it really means to me is that there is a whole bunch up there that I don't know, and I'm not going to know with my brain. I'm not. And so what it does to me is it validates the universe.
Yes.
And it says, wow,
yes.
I'm part of that.
Yes, it always gives you that feeling that you're part of something so grand,
yep,
and vaster than you, but it's okay because you want to explore it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It just makes you a part of it all, you know, and you don't have to know. Just to know. What you do know is you're a part of it, and it's big, and you're a part of it, and you're valid, and you're there, and that validates you. Bang, that's it. I don't have to have a physical explanation.
It also validates that you're it's like, if this is part, there's so many things that the world would feel comfortable with knowing, and one of them is simply, yes, folks, you do live, in a sense, if you want to put it in terms of time and space, in essence, eternally.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You do not die. Now, how do I know this? I know this.
Yeah.
We all know this. We all know this. So know that,
yeah,
if you get anything from this. And by the way, it doesn't take a big stretch of the imagination to if you don't know that, mm-hmm, it's very tough to get to the idea that imagination can even create.
Well, you know, there's been lots of studies about, and Roy can tell you this, about Raymond Moody better than I can, but Raymond did studies where he would put people on very sensitive scales, and he did a lot, hundreds of times probably, and as soon as they die, they weigh just short of an ounce less when their soul leaves. Every single one of them.
Yeah. Soul has mass.
I think that's interesting. You know what I think is more interesting is kinesiology. I mean, that's one of the ways where, and I mean, there's been beautiful work done there. This is a way through our body, with, you know, literally using our body to give us yes or no answers in a coded form, which are, you know, indisputable. I mean, so if you go into kinesiology and ask a question that can be answered yes or no, which, by the way, is a binary form of communication, isn't it? So it's not a semantic complex statement about something, but simply a yes or no proposition.
Yes.
And so if pay attention, and I do that with Eva a lot. I wind up having to do that with Eva. We get down to a yes or no, and that way we get information.
Yes.
We get things, not information. What we get is meaning. Meaning comes out of that. And so I'm always on Eva's derriere about this, as I was today earlier. Don't be quantitative with me about this. I don't want to hear about numbers. How ridiculous, Roy Scruggs. You know, you're an engineer, and you're telling me that you're not interested in numbers. Well, yeah, I am. But that's not where creativity is.
No.
That's just an expression. That's a way that you use creative thought.
Yeah, but now it's no longer necessary, basically.
Right. It has nothing to do with numbers. It's just a way of expressing things and being precise about things at the physical level. But creativity is not quantitative.
You can't limit it in its expression. If you did, it wouldn't be called imagination.
That's right. Well, you use the word imagination now. I use the word creativity because I tend to think of imagination as being
intent,
a rich field, activity, and somewhere in that rich field of activity are some nuggets.
Yes.
And those nuggets are the creative nuggets. And what we do is we will pluck those little nuggets out, and we will tend to develop them or not.
Yes.
But the rest of it is imaginary, and it's okay. It's entertaining. It's fine. But it's not going to do anything here.
No.
Because what we're here for is to help each other to grow.
Yes.
And I can't help you to grow with my imagination. I can't. But I have to do what I could do. Is if out of my imagination a creative notion arises and I act on that and make it real, that is, go do something with it, right? So that it affects other people, then I have had an influence on it. Otherwise, you have your imaginative field, I have mine. And I think somebody said earlier that your imaginative field is important. Yes, it is. It absolutely is. But I can't imagine. No, I can't understand why we would be here if we weren't here
to grow together,
each other, to serve,
to grow
each
together.
Other.
Because we could have chosen. I know this. We could have chosen an aspect of our being that decided to interfere with a time element alone.
Yep.
But we didn't.
No.
We came here wanting to do it with others. Just like when I say, if I were to give you everything in the world, but no company on an island. Would you rather have that, or would you like to have all the people there, your friends, everything, but no money? Well, automatically, you'd pick people.
Right.
So knowing this, we put ourselves in an environment where we're not alone. We have people for experience sake. And that basically means there is a connectivity between us all.
Yeah, right.
And we have to help each other all in the aspect of growth because we gave ourselves a connectivity to each other.
Exactly. And that's so important. I remember when I was rather young and insecure, you know, spiritually insecure in every other way, I couldn't stand disputing with anybody. So I used to imagine what it would be like if I were the only person in the world. And it took me a long time to understand what was wrong with that. Right? Actually, it did. I mean, it really did. It would be utterly pointless. So I had to grow up. And sometimes we do. Now, sometimes people are born, you know, more spiritually fit than I was, and so it took me a long time to grow up. But I understand that now. That it's very fundamental. If it's not about each other, it ain't about nothing. Might as well not be here.
Yes. Well, on this level, now, one can take, if you start to reach awareness,
If you're aware, you know that you can take yourself beyond this level and not interact with it, kind of, in a weird kind of sense. I don't want to explain it or break it down right now. But because you're here and all these people are here, it's so quick you automatically understand purpose. Purpose is the people. It's almost like a purpose to yourself because you're all one thing.
Yeah.
And knowing that, you act on it. It's not, you can't help it.
No.
It's just a part of the process of what you've become now.
Yes. That's right. Yeah. And this shows up, you know, when that happens to you, it shows up to other people that, you know, they don't know exactly what it is about you, but they do perceive, when this happens to you, they do perceive that something different. You know, you're not, it's subtle, you know, but we all understand that. I mean, if you met Krishnamurti or Yogananda or somebody like that, you would know right with them immediately, right? They were totally different, right? So, but that can happen with just ordinary folks like us.
Sometimes, you know what I did at first, a couple of, 3 or 4 months before this occurred too, I'd walk around with the idea when anything was in front of me, a negative situation, I used to understand, Doug, don't give it energy, love it. Okay, love it. So I just started imagining that if it was bad, I shut it off or I didn't want to hear it, and if I saw it, I gave it love. Okay. But now I understand that thought alone gave love. That energy, the thought vibrated to the energy which gave love in that direction.
Uh-huh.
It just did. It did that, so now I'm even more aware of what happens is you now know the power of thought. So your thoughts will go along the way of how does it improve, not how does it hurt.
Yes, and that's, you know, that's where we're, isn't that the truth? That's where we're short of wisdom, right? We think morally that we need to love everything into beauty. But there's evil out there, and you can't love evil into beauty.
Right.
You can't do it. If you give it love, you're just giving it energy. I was talking with Eva earlier today about the levels of spirituality where there's, you know, there's the real high level of spiritual beauty which we can all access, and at the astral level, there is unfortunately at that level quite a bit of malevolence.
There. Yes.
But there's also a level in there of the jokes, the mischievous ones, who are not necessarily the good is above and the bad is below.
You don't think of it in terms of that, more a learning experience, but you get to decide whether you want to learn in a harsher environment, I think, to some degree.
Well, you know, but it's all a matter of, sometimes, you know, you interact with all these levels. And
you do.
And you have to quit judging yourself and just simply try to detect what's active here. And the mischievous level, or what I call the jokester level or the mischievous level, is not malevolent or good. Just pull.
Yeah. And what's your intent on that matter?
Yeah. And they will play with you.
Yeah.
They play with you, and you're, because they're playing a joke on you. And they'll give you some information, and you tend to accept it, right? And say, oh, this must be true, when you have to detect that they're actually playing with you. Playing with you. This is not truth. This is a joke. And this is the great test for us.
So who's the ones playing with you?
We know when we're involved in bad stuff, right? So we can let that go right away. The problem is, how do you know when you're playing with a joke? And we get those things a lot of times, you know? And we have to, over time, learn to. Okay.
It's a sense, I think it's an injection of an understanding that there's always more. It's this feeling that a person needs to get that, one, there's always more to explore, and two, humor is really an element of connection. It's like takes you on a higher vibration, so in that exact moment you both laugh out loud, you're connected.
Yeah.
And that's a great vibration, that's a great feeling. And in many ways, insight comes from that feeling, insight to the person. Oh, I just felt a connection.
Yeah.
So there's warmth there. It's a moment of clarity in a different direction that you need to experience sometimes. So
yeah.
In that way, you could, so many levels on levels on levels, but for me, I think that it's all perfect as it is.
I think it is too, and I think that what we tend to do over time is, when I say the jokester, I'm talking about somebody on the physical level equivalent to that would be a stockbroker who's misrepresenting and enticing you with respect to some investment, let's say. Where this is kind of an actual real thing.
Yeah, but it's a good one.
But it's not really true.
Right.
But not exactly untrue either. And so you get enticed. You're enticed out of greed,
yeah.
In that case. But that's the kind of misleading thing that I'm talking about here. It's definitely not malevolent.
Well, let me give you an example of something like that. Let's say you get to awareness and your idea is, I'm now God. Or you just go to that idea. Even though to that idea you have to become aware of yourself on so many levels before you grow to an infinity of understanding.
Yeah.
But your jokester and you might say, oh, I'm now all powerful. I just became aware.
Yeah.
No. Don't let the jokester in you take you to that level. And see, that's really what you're trying to explain, I think.
Yes, I think it is. Because, see, ego, I thought for a long time that ego probably, it appears for physical existence, that ego is probably necessary.
It is, and it just gets less, maybe, or associated in a different way. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, my own feeling about it is the ego is like salt. A little bit of salt is good. But more than that, it's destructive.
And yes.
Isn't it a matter of a deep understanding of how much ego you let into your life?
Yes.
Certainly not ever very much. And the escape from ego is humility.
Yes.
Humility.
Well, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, excuse me, Eva. That was an excellent, excellent show, and I can only say that, out of all the shows that I've put up on Blog and Service, as far as group consciousness, spirituality, and multidimensional thought, I think this is going to be one of the most, not only heavily listened to, but the most important shows that they'll ever hear. And
yeah.
I can only hope that you continue to do these shows on a regular basis, because really what we're coming to in this, let's call it the ascension of this new age. I mean, I like to back away a bit from
we
ascension
of humankind.
We hope it's going
to be ascension.
Yeah. As we ascend, the people are going to need to come closer and closer together and in touch with themselves. And that's the only way we're really going to avoid and avert some of this manifested timeline that a lot of this fear is creating. So
yeah.
I really want to hear more of this, and I'm sure the rest of the audience will. And I just hope that you continue to do this and make plans to do this, because I will schedule a weekly slot for a new show, as we discussed, and you just talk to me about it and let me know, and you can entertain guests.
Donald, I want to tell you this. You're my twin brother, right?
No.
The fact that we were both of like mind all of our lives, period. 2 weeks ago, my mind went to a different instantly. People need to understand that that is a reality. I just wanted to leave people with that, because that's hard. If you don't believe it, it cannot be for you.
Well, it's like that old saying on that TV show. For you, it is.
That's right. Dr. Scrubs, thank you. It was such a pleasure discussing these things with you. On so many levels, there are levels on levels. And that's really why it's so beautiful to discuss with people like Dr. Scrubs these amazing things. Even my mind needs to dwell on some of these things. It's like time to assimilate the information that is and make it, pull it into who you are.
Yeah, exactly.
And, every day, it's just that the speed at which you do it becomes quicker, because there's so much irrelevance that 99% of what you ever thought was important, you no longer need to focus on.
That's exactly right, yes.
So you move up much quicker, and each and every day, just imagine 2 weeks, I don't know where tomorrow's going to lead.
Well, I'm
like a kid in this whole basket of understanding.
There's a compelling need for us to go forward with this.
Yes.
I feel a sense of somewhat urgency. I mean, I know we're all nervous about New Orleans and stuff like that, but I'm talking about a little bit longer term than that. There is a compelling need for us to go forward with what we're doing.
Yes.
And to continue to focus on it and try to organize and respond on the spiritual level. I think it's so important.
I agree.
It's the most important.
Consciousness is what it is.
Yeah.
Bringing together to raise the masses. We have to do it.
I think so, too.
Well, thank you. And we're up at around a minute and 10, so I thank you again, all of you. Eva, Dr. Scrubs, Doug.
I've enjoyed it very much.
I have, too.
Agape, people.
Agape. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hello?
Hello?